And welcome to TTELT, Teaching Tips for English Language Teachers, a program of educators worldwide. I'm your host today, Melanie Gobert.
Hello, everyone. This is Melanie Gobert, your host for today's TTELT podcast, Teaching Tips for English Language Teachers, a program of educators worldwide. Joining us today is Shahab Morikani, Associate Professor of TESOL at Razi University, Kermanshah, Iran. Welcome, Shahab.
Thank you, Melanie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Shahab's topic is English as an International Language in L2 Pedagogy, Theoretical and Practical Controversies. Shahab, would you like to start?
Yeah, of course. So, would you like to raise questions or shall I talk?
Tell me, first of all, what do you mean by English as an international language? I actually am not familiar with that term. I've heard English as an international, a global language, English as a lingua franca, but as an international language, that's new for me.
Melanie, it's pretty much the same as English as a lingua franca. In recent decades, as a result of the widespread use of English in the international arena, people, and most prominently some household names in applied linguistics, have started to talk about English as a lingua franca or English as an international language. There are so many discussions revolving around the concept, but the basic tenets are these. Number one, native speakers are not good role models for English learners who learn English in order to communicate with other non-native speakers. And number two, when it comes to teaching culture, the culture of the people residing in so-called English-speaking countries, or what Brett Kashu has labeled inner circle countries like the United States, Britain, Canada, and Australia, their culture should not be regarded as the norm to be introduced in English language learning classes. So these are the two basic tenets of English as an international language. In terms of pronunciation, native speakers should not be the norm. And in terms of culture, the culture of English speaking countries should not be the norm.
Okay, so what are you talking about? The second half of your title is EIL in L2 pedagogy. Okay, so how does the pedagogy differ?
So the point here is that, based on these two basic tenets, the proponents of EIL, English as an International Language, assert that we should not have native speakers as the norm. So, for example, in your class, as a language teacher, you may include different varieties of English, like Indian English, Nigerian English, even Iranian English. So different varieties of English can be included. And you are not supposed to push your students to move toward a native speaker, let's say, norm in terms of pronunciation. So it's okay as far as students can get their meaning across, it's okay for them to retain their accent, their foreign accent. And when it comes to culture, you do not need to include the culture of the people living in English-speaking countries. You do not need to talk about their culture. So it's senseless, let's say, to talk about Halloween if you're teaching English in Iran or if you're teaching English in India. You can talk about the cultural elements of your own country or the cultural elements of non-English speaking countries in your classes. So in a sense, as a language teacher, you are partially responsible to make sure that your students are not going to be so-called westernized through being exposed to the culture of English speaking countries. And you're supposed to make sure that your students will enjoy, sorry. sorry for the interruption. So you are supposed to make sure that your students will not be colonized, linguistically speaking, by the dominance of English-speaking countries. So you are going to be an agent of change as a teacher. And you're going to introduce varieties of English, varieties of culture to your students, and you're going to make them familiar with a wide range of possibilities in terms of accents, pronunciation, culture, etc. This is how English as an international language is supposed to be translated into English language classes.
Okay, I actually agree with everything you said, but I just want to point out a phenomena that I have recently become acquainted with both in London and in California. And that is that people are actively seeking, let's call them voice coaches or pronunciation coaches, to change their accent for the job market. Okay, so for example, in the UK, they even want to have a received pronunciation accent. So, you know, how would you address this phenomena? I mean, because people do vote with their feet, right? I mean, people are paying for this. It's a growing market.
Exactly. You know, Melanie, what I'm after is that this concept of English as international language is full of controversies and conflicting ideas. One of the things is what you just mentioned. We conducted a study in Iran to see to what extent grassroots practitioners, that is teachers, are familiar with the principles of English as an international language, and to what extent they agree with these principles. The findings were astonishing. Most of the teachers do not agree with the idea that native speakers should not be the norm toward which we strive as language learners. In other words, it seems that the principles of English as an international language have been proposed by academicians who are living in ivory towers, I would say, doing research and publishing research without much attention to what is going on in the real world of language classes. I can say many language learners, in Iran at least, attend language schools, language institutes, to learn the best version of English. And their definition of the best version of English is the English spoken in English-speaking countries. So this is one of the controversies I see here. Most of the proponents of EIL are claiming that no, native speakers should be put aside here. But when you talk to the grassroots practitioners, and when you look at the job market, the market demand, that is what language learners are looking for, is that they urge their teachers to teach them the norms of the pronunciation norms that dominate English speaking countries. So when you talk to a language learner in a typical language classroom in Iran, and you try to let them retain his or her accent, foreign accent, it's not what they want. They urge their teachers to help them move toward this native speaker proficiency level. But our studies show that when it comes to culture, it seems that a more, let's say, lenient approach is adopted by both teachers and students. They agree that we need to include cultural elements from both English-speaking countries and non-English-speaking countries. Maybe because later you will be in contact with somebody who does not come from an English-speaking country. For example, Iranians learn English in order to do business with Chinese people. So they would like to see cultural elements of the Chinese community in course books and in their language classes. And they would like to know how to promote their own culture, the culture of their own country, when they are engaged in communication with Chinese people. So I will divide the discussion here into two parts. In terms of pronunciation and accent, still many people, many language learners and many language teachers in outer circle countries like Iran, by outer circle countries, I mean those countries in which English is not the first language and it is not an official language either. In outer circle countries, many language learners and teachers still believe that the native speaker should be the norm when it comes to pronunciation. But when it comes to culture, they say, no, we would like to learn, learners and teachers, we would like to teach cultural elements from our own country, cultural elements from English-speaking countries, as well as cultural elements from non-English-speaking countries like China, like India, like, I don't know, Thailand, et cetera, et cetera.
So, I mean, I agree with you 100% about this. Earlier in my career, I did a big analysis, if there's such a thing, an extensive analysis of course books, a series of course books to show that, you know, a lot of the course books were dominated by, you know, a drinking, partying culture. And the point that I was trying to make was, you don't need to drink or party to be a full-fledged member of English-speaking society, because there are many religions and many people that don't drink alcohol extensively or party at clubs extensively. So you can actually be a full-fledged member of the society without participating in these activities. So I think your points are very good. Do you have any concluding points for us, Shaha?
Well, as a conclusion, I believe most of the discussions revolving around this concept, EIL, come from people who themselves are either native speakers of English or highly proficient in English use, in English. So these people actually prescribe some principles for grassroots practitioners. And this is in stark contrast with one of the basic tenets of EIL. EIL is meant to liberate language teachers and learners. But again, we see the domination of academicians over grassroots practitioners. We need to talk to practitioners, teachers, as well as language learners in both outer circle countries like India, where English is a second official language, or in expanding circle countries like India, in outer circle countries expanding circle countries like Iran, where English is not an official language. And we need to listen to their concerns here. Most probably, you will come to the conclusion that some of the principles promoted by EIL proponents are not shared by teachers and grassroots practitioners in Iran or some other countries.
Okay, Shahab, I'm going to have to stop you there. And thank you very much for joining us today.
It was a pleasure to be here.
This has been your host, Melanie Gobert, for today's edition of the TTELT podcast. Thank you for joining us. TTELT is a program of educators worldwide.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for joining us today. Share with us how you are using these tips. Leave us a comment or voice message on social media or at ttelt.org. Thanks for joining this episode of TTELT, brought to you by Educators Worldwide. Follow, like, and subscribe to TTELT on your social media, and try a new teaching tip today.